Episode 3. Every October during Respect for Life Month, I dedicate all of my Sunday sermons to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. If you've missed an episode, not to worry. Here is a quick review. 2 weeks ago in episode 1, we talked about the extraordinary synod on the family that ended today in Rome. The purpose of the synod, contrary to popular opinion, is not to change the teaching on marriage and the family. The Pope and bishops could never, ever change the beautiful life-giving plan our Lord has given us. The purpose of the synod is to present the teaching of the faith on marriage in an articulate and efficacious manner so that it might reach hearts and transform them according to God's most holy will. We gave thanks to God in episode 1 for those brave men and women in every age who have lived the gospel of the family as a gift for their life and for their children. And for those who have not lived the gospel of the family, we encourage them to make a good confession and to produce fruit for the kingdom of God before the Lord takes it away from them and gives it to a people that will produce its fruit. Last week in episode 2, we were inspired by the words of Pope Pius XI in his encyclical letter on marriage called Casti Connubii. It was written at the very end of the year 1930. And the focus of our reflection last week was at the very end of his encyclical when he said, "It is the concern of the public authority to make proper provision for marriage and the family. The prosperity of the state and the temporal happiness of its citizens cannot remain safe and sound where the moral order is weakened and where the very fountainhead from which the state draws its life, namely marriage and the family, is obstructed by the vice of its citizens." So we talked about how public authority, the government, the president, the Congress, the Supreme Court, has the responsibility to make laws that protect marriage and the family. Why? Because the prosperity of the state and the temporal happiness of us citizens cannot remain safe where the moral order is weakened. And of course, we have a responsibility to elect men and women who will follow the natural law as God intends and who will remove all obstacles and vices in society. God is so good to us. He gives us an abundance of supernatural help and fully supplies us with whatever we need to do his most holy will. Now this week in episode 3, Pope Francis concluded the Synod on the Family earlier this morning with the beatification of the venerable Pope Paul VI. Perhaps you couldn't sleep last night or you got up early to watch the beatification of Pope Paul VI in St. Peter's Square. Born as Giovanni Battista Montini on September the 26th, 1897, just 3 days before the death of my very good friend St. Thérèse of Lisieux, Pope Blessed Paul VI was our 262nd Pope. He was Pope for 15 years, from the feast of St. Aloysius Gonzaga on the 21st of June, 1963, until his death on the feast of the Transfiguration on August the 6th, 1978. Many of you in this church remember Blessed Pope Paul VI. Even I was alive during part of his pontificate. Through the life and pontificate of blessed now Pope Paul VI, the gospel came to us in power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction, as St. Paul used those words to conclude the letter, the second reading for Mass today. Yes, blessed Pope Paul VI, he came to us preaching a gospel with power and in the Holy Spirit and with much conviction. It's well worth taking a look at the writings of this new blessed Pope Paul VI. He wrote in 7 encyclical letters. And the most famous is the last one he wrote on the 25th day of July, 1968. It's called Humanae Vitae, on human life. This is his encyclical letter on the beauty of marriage and the family. It's really short. It's easy to read. It's only 16 pages. Look at how short it is. In fact, of those 16 pages, a page and a half are dedicated to footnotes. So it's really only 14 and a half pages. This is a beautiful letter. It's written to all of us. It says, to the faithful and to all men of goodwill. It's written to everyone. A beautiful document on marriage and the family. I wish I could talk about it at great length. We could spend a whole October miniseries just talking about different parts of this beautiful encyclical letter. But I thought on this day of his beatification, and this day where the Pope ends the Synod on Marriage and the Family. See, it's not by accident that Pope Francis is beatifying him today. As the Synod for Marriage and the Family ends, he's beatifying somebody who preached this gospel of marriage and the family. And in paragraph 17 of this document, I find to be the most fascinating because blessed Pope Paul VI makes four predictions. He makes four predictions. 46 years ago, he predicted what would happen if we disobey the church's beautiful teaching on marriage and the family. So let's just take a look at those four predictions for just a second. The first prediction he makes, and this is the way he says it, it's in paragraph 17. He says, responsible men can become more deeply convinced of the truth of the doctrine laid down by the church if they reflect on the consequences of artificial birth control. Let them consider, first of all, how easily this course of action can lead to the way of being wide open to marital infidelity. So what do you think? Has this prediction come true? Has there been more or less adultery in the past 46 years? In the past 46 years, have men and women been more or less faithful to their vows? Have they been more or less, have they more or less cheated on their spouse in 46 years? What do you think? His first prediction was that there would be an increase in marital infidelity. His second prediction, he says that by not following this beautiful plan that God has for marriage and the family, he says this can lead to a general lowering of moral standards. Those are his words. He says it can lead to a general lowering of moral standards. So what do you think? 46 years, has there been a general lowering in moral standards? Just think about the way we dress. There's a beautiful line in the responsorial psalm today. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Think about the way we dress. Think about what's on TV and in soap operas and MTV and just the advertisements. Think about the violent crime, the increase in shooting rampages, Ponzi schemes, embezzlement, assisted suicide, cloning, embryonic stem cell research, in vitro fertilization, living with your boyfriend or girlfriend before you're married, legalized abortion, the abomination of same-gender get-togethers, given legal rights in most states. What do you think? Is there been a general lowering in moral standards? His third prediction. These are his words now, his third prediction. Another effect that gives cause for alarm is that a man who grows accustomed to the use of contraceptive methods may forget the reverence due to a woman and reduce her to being a mere instrument for the satisfaction of his own desires. Wow. 46 years ago, blessed Pope Paul VI predicted that we would forget to give a woman her due dignity, and we would stop treating her as a person and treat her like a thing, like an object for my own enjoyment and pleasure. Do you think in the past 46 years there's been an increase in sexual abuse, sexual assault? Do you think there's been an increase in pornography, spending billions and billions of dollars? Fourth prediction. The fourth and final prediction of Pope Blessed Paul VI, He said, "Finally, grave consideration should be given to the danger of this power passing into the hands of those public authorities who care little for the precepts of the moral law. What will prevent public authorities from imposing their use on everyone?" Wow. 46 years ago. Blessed Pope Paul VI predicted that public authorities would impose their use on everybody. Just take a look at China. They don't just have legalized abortion, they have forced abortion. If you have more than one baby, they will forcibly come in and kill any other babies you have. Just look at this country, the evil Health and Human Service mandate, where in this country we're forced to provide health insurance that includes contraception, abortion, and sterilization. So those were the four predictions by Blessed Pope Paul VI, named a blessed today. He predicted increased marital infidelity, a general lowering of moral standards, disregard for the dignity of the woman, and the government forcing evil things upon us. What do you think? In 46 years, I think all of those predictions have come true. Consequently, Pope Blessed Paul VI says, we must accept that there are certain limits beyond which it is wrong to go, limits which no one, whether as a public individual or as a public authority, can lawfully exceed. And so the Pope concludes paragraph 17 of Humanae Vitae by saying, there are limits for us as individuals, and there are limits for the government. Isn't that what Jesus said? Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Some people think that when human life begins and ends, belongs to Caesar. Some people think that the definition of marriage belongs to Caesar. Some people think whether it is right or wrong to use abortion, sterilization, or contraception, that that belongs to Caesar, that Caesar can decide these things. But that's not true, is it? When human life begins and ends, and the definition of marriage between one man and one woman, and that it is wrong to abort, sterilize, and contracept, that doesn't belong to Caesar. That power belongs to Almighty God. So give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but give to God what belongs to God. The good news is, we don't belong to Caesar either. We belong to the Lord. My body, your body is not yours. It's not for your pleasures. St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the body is not for sexual immorality. The body is for the Lord. And so if your body is for the Lord, then give to God what belongs to him.